Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, for your presence in it, for all of the things that you store up for us, for the way you keep track of us and have your hand upon us and make ways for us to discover more and more of you and really of ourselves and who we are in you. So I just thank you for your presence here this morning. I know that you have individual purposes for this time and purposes that will occur as a result of it. And we just thank you that you are always knitting things together and you always have more to show us and you are going before us in so many ways. We give you praise and thanksgiving for that and commit this time to you, Lord, asking you to bless the people who are not here and this weekend that is a kind of a longer weekend for many of us. Just fill it with your presence, Lord. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, let me just say a couple of things about, I think what I want to talk about today is actually a follow-on from last month. Some of you were here, you know, at least a couple of you weren't. We were talking about, the month before we went through Isaiah 61 and kind of the progression of that in terms of the preaching of the gospel followed by the whole healing process for us and the liberation process that are kind of hand in hand. And, you know, observed that the nature of the progression, the fact that it involves exchanges and that we come out at a place of unity and really reflecting the Lord and being a source of praise in the world. That's what it says. You know, there's this whole progression. So we looked at that. Last month we talked about an aspect of that that is a very key aspect in terms of healing and people getting through to that place of kingdom life and empowering and freedom. And that was the issue of hiding. How we hide, that we hide, that there's no way to really deal with that except to come out of hiding. We're not gonna get into, you know, freedom and empowering and maintain hiding. So we're gonna have to look at that. And we looked at a number of those aspects. I would say that what we're talking about, what I wanna talk about today is related. It's related to hiding. Probably a little more specific statement. And I really think that it will end up having a great deal to do with almost everyone's healing and restoration. You know, that's what I've been seeing lately. What I would call the topic today would be, I guess, the complex, I would call it, between anger and regard. You know, the fact that we need a certain amount of regard for who we are to develop and build and strengthen and move in who we are. And if that doesn't occur, it will produce some anger. Now, the link here between anger, regard, and hiding is we tend to hide both of those. We tend to hide the anger, and we tend to hide the hurt over not being regarded. Do you think that's true? Yeah, it's difficult and vulnerable, and so I wanna talk about that a little bit. And add some pieces to what we were talking about last month. One of the things that I want to say about it is a contrast between. Just to try to light up the contrast between how psychology views some of these issues we're talking about and how Scripture views them. And part of the reason I want to do that is because you guys often feel unequipped if you don't function in a strong psychological frame. But there's a way in which there are some key things missing there that we need to be real clear on. So let me say this about the whole hiding issue and the fact that a lot of what we need to look at with the Lord is a little bit buried, and he's got to resurrect it before he can fix it. psychologically, that would be referred to as unconscious material. From a Freudian perspective, that really has to do. It's often Freudian, unconscious. Yeah, they're degrees. From a Freudian point of view, the unconscious material is viewed as involving latent sexual issues, you know, and lack of freedom in those areas, and really that's the viewed as something of the fix, you know. From a Jungian point of view, the unconscious is more the dark side, shadow side of us, you know. From a scriptural point of view, it doesn't talk about sub or unconscious stuff so much. It talks about hiding, plain and simple. And it defines it as we're concealing ourselves for security, for our form of security. That's what we figure out. If we conceal ourselves, and primarily our heart. See, if we hide our heart, then we're going to be safe. That's how we got it. That's how we got it figured out. Is that true? Yeah? Yeah, all you do is lose your life, but it's safe. The Lord is contending with us over that, I would say. See, he is saying that he's lighting up the fact that our form of hiding has some drawbacks, and he's offering his form. You hide in and with him, you have a refuge, you hide in light that will reveal and free and reconcile and bring everything that is lit up into unity with him. Shall we say? Reconciling everything to himself. Well, we're in a battle with him over whether we're going to do it that way or not, honestly. Are there any exceptions to that? See, you will see, I think you will see this anger, regard, complex, and the whole hiding issue. You'll see it everywhere, you know, even in the mirror. our form of concealing ourselves or hiding for safety. See, how does that match the whole issue and idea that the Lord has of witness? We witness to what we've seen and heard. They're gonna conflict, aren't they? Yeah. And if we don't come out of hiding, we're going to impair our witness. That's it. It's going to be limited, or we're going to risk. Have you ever been in that position? You know? The particular area of hiding and coming out of there that I want to talk about today is this whole issue of regard and anger over lack of it. I think it's a very, very prevalent situation. I think it's rampant in the church. Most of the triggering and reaction has its roots there. Most of the triggering and reaction and, you know, even development of factions, you could probably trace back to that. Somebody got their feelings hurt, didn't feel regarded, views the person who did it as the problem, starts working separation, then it's discussed with others, and that, you know, discredits, and I mean, it's just very, very, very prevalent. The whole issue of regard bumps into one of the elements we've looked at from the fall, and that's evident in when we were talking about Isaiah 61 too, is that we tend to face each other. We tend to look to each other for approval and work it out on that level. That means we're going to be let down and angry over the let down quite a bit. So we're talking about getting to the place where our regard comes from the Lord, and people actually do not have the power to devalue. They may have the power to hurt, But that's very different than devaluing. You get devalued as a person. There's a disqualifying that goes in that, goes with that, usually a silencing. And we withdraw and really lose our life and potentially calling and activity and zeal. You know, it's very easy for that to happen. So we're talking about, just, you know, if we take that need for healing and link it to the fact that a lot of this material is in hiding, what does ministry look like to each other? See, if we're talking about helping the person make anger things more conscious and helping the link between whatever regard or disregard caused that anger more conscious so that you can get it to the Lord, what does that look like? If anger isn't evident or discussed, what does it look like? Are there any clues, any hints, any threads that tie to it? What does it look like in its state that is... See, most of the people you minister to aren't going to say, I'm angry about this, and I know exactly when it happened and how, and they're not going to say that. They're going to be depressed or withdrawn or not feel safe or whatever. One of the things that causes us a great feeling of lack of safety is if we feel we're not going to be regarded. I don't know if I've said this here before or not, but I've said it a number of times and places. I believe that this whole anger regard thing is as evident and pronounced as it is because we are made in the image of God. That's what the scripture says. We're made in the image of God, and we are made to reflect Him. We're made for fellowship, we're made for unity, we're made for union with God, we're made more in a community partnership type creative vision of us. If you treat us in some way other than that, we get mad. We may or may not feel we can risk expressing it, but it's there. And I think that is due to the fact that we are the creature we are, you know. And if you do not treat us like who we are, we will get upset. If we're not able to express it, it'll come out sideways. Criticalness, sarcasm, judgment, leaving things undone, withdrawing, not sharing, not responding. You know, they're all forms probably that have some anger underneath them, and they probably tie to a lack of regard. So what I'm saying is, if we're going to come out empowered and full of zeal and passion for the Lord, and that is going to be resurrected and we get to use it, this regard issue has got to be squarely, securely established, settled in Him, and you cannot move us out of it. Which is another way of talking about healing, I would say. That we are so reunited with Him, we are so in agreement with Him, that you can't shove us around anymore. Can't diminish us, can't judge us out of our view of ourselves, or out of our calling, or out of our identity in God. You just can't do it anymore. And I think it's fair to view ministry as getting people restored to that level of strength and vitality in the Lord. I would... Were you going to say something?
As you've been talking, the word that the thing that comes to mind is... I think what I'm looking for when I want to be regarded is basically unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And always care.
Well, I think that's true, and yet I believe the Lord is working on us, Jim.
Certainly yes. Will I ever be able to always unconditionally love?
Right.
Will I be able to do that 50% of the time,
80%?
As much as I walk with God, in this.
That's where we can do it from, I think, sharing His perspective and His attitude, His heart. I think that's our best that's our best bet. At. Otherwise, we're going to be in our own understanding and judge based on it. And it's going to be limited.
From others, what can you just regard? But it's not necessarily possible. So my expectations are slowly switching from. I can't expect that.
Right.
Anyway. So I'm working with that.
Well, and here's a, you know, I think you're starting to light up the whole bridge area for people in terms of making that transition. You know, we automatically, as in our growing up years as children, look to parents for that type of regard. And what we need is some degree of recognition of who we are and affirmation of that. If that happens to some significant degree, it's like we have a jump start toward transition. You know, the bridge is kind of in shape. And you can get across it, you can at least start down it. If we don't have that, it's a huge step and actually very difficult. Because we will not want to settle for God if that's all we have ever had. There's some face of this that needs to be with people, you know. And that's true. You know, that's true. But if it doesn't occur in the, you know, in the family environment in the way that it needs to, then we've got to fight our way through to the place where we can receive from the Lord in that way, and we can settle for it. And what I would say about that is that has to do with the level of disregard that people have experienced. Yeah.
What I think you're saying, if I got that correctly, is regard goes both directions. If we're going to reflect Christ, we have to learn to love others unconditionally.
And if we're going to be able to do that, we have to receive that from the Lord.
So if we understand it, we should be able to act upon the understanding, even if we are unable to accept regard ourselves.
You know, there's a form of it based on understanding that I think works to some degree. I think we have to receive it, though, to some, you know, a fair amount, to really have it in the storehouse, to really, you know.
Not as I understand it, but as I experience it. When I experience unconditional love, then I know I have experienced what that feels like. I'm more inclined to reflect that. Mm-hmm. Well, at least I know what it feels like, so.
And it heightens our sensitivity, I think, to have experienced it.
When I hear the word understand, I think of intellectual exercise. And I just am not convinced that this is
experience. It probably needs to be both. Yeah, I think it needs to be both.
But we, as Americans, I think we intellectualize a lot.
Yeah, let me say something about the levels of disregard that impact this, you know, because I think there is I don't think you can really get through life probably given the fallen nature of things and the lack of completeness without at least the first form of disregard, and that is that we attempt to share our hearts, and what we get back is, excuse me, somebody coming more chiefly in the mind or from logic or fixing us up instead of hearing us. And that feeling is not being regarded, not having our heart heard, not. I think that's a difference that you and Jim are talking about, you know. Both levels need to play here. But it's practically inevitable that we will experience some disappointment or lack of regard or feel hurt or missed, or kind of reacting to being fixed up instead of accepted or heard. Just, you know, what we need is to be joined and heard where we are, for whatever reason we're there, and be willing to start there with us, you know. So So virtually everyone has experienced some of that. I don't think it's escapable. You know? Then there are more extensive forms of disregard. People being inappropriate with their anger, taking it out on folks that it doesn't belong to. Blaming, yelling, holding people responsible, you know, sarcasm that is belittling, and you know, just a kind of a routine criticalness or disapproval to exercise control. See, those are all much more, those are more extensive forms of being disregarded. Now we're talking about getting smashed a bit, you know. Now we're talking about really, really wounding and oppressing someone. And if you, you know, probably another level of intensity in that is physically or sexually abused without regard to the effect or the scarring or the long-term impact of that behavior. You know, see, one of the things you want to look at with people is what has happened to their sense of regard. What category is it in here? Because I can tell you this, that the degree of hiding away and the tightness of the lid is going to be in proportion to the intensity of the disregard. You see that? Do you notice that? I mean, we can even notice this in our own lives. There are certain wounds that we can recover from quicker than others, you know. And the more difficult and intense and costly they are, it's going to take a little more time. It's hard to come back out. Or, you know, you experience the same kind of disregard or hurt or whatever over and over and over again. By about the fourth or fifth time, you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, that's understandable, but we have to find a way to get through it without losing our life. And I don't know of any other way than you know, than getting to the place where the kind of unconditional regard and love that the Lord is and brings to us is what rules and reigns. Yeah. See, part of the reason I feel that that the psychological frame is incomplete is because of its concept of man. The concept is that if you understand our psyche and develop some therapeutic ways of interacting, you can correct and fix and bring to health and wholeness the person. You know, the person is the, and personhood is the frame, is the whole assessment environment in which you talk about healing and wholeness. That's not going to get it. That's not going to get it because of the way we're created. We're created to be in union. We're created to be a reflection. We're created to worship and, you know, and reflect. We're created as part of a community with Him. Well, if you're not going to address it from that framework, how are you going to make us whole? Another way to say it is we have to discover who we are with Him. We have to come back into that. You can't fix us. You know, you can't restore a creation by limiting the definition of it. You know, we're designed to be in union. We're designed to be one with Him. And if you're going to talk about us really working, that's what it's going to take. Now, the reason I want to emphasize that with you folks is, see, you tend to think that if you don't have you know, a degree in psychology, you can't help people. But you see what I'm saying? If you know anything about how to get people united with the Lord, you can help them. Because if any of us can draw on Him and we can hear Him and we can let Him intervene and be active in our lives, He will certainly bring us to wholeness. And He's better able to do that than anyone. So keep re-looking at that, you know. I guess what I'm really saying is that when you look at a lot of conditions of people, you know, depression, for example. Depression is very prevalent at times with folks. Probably it has an anger regard component to it. how are you going to help him discover that, you know? Because most people suffering from, you know, from depression don't really know what it's about. You know, it's very difficult for them to identify what it's about. I don't know, it's just so heavy. I just don't, you know. So what does that say? See, it says that whatever it's about is kind of hidden away. It's not fully conscious. So there are some ways to begin to start, you know, lifting the thing. How long has it been around? What was happening before? What has your life been like? What are the times when depression has become an issue? You know, you're probably going to get somewhere near the value, regard, lack of clarity about who they are and the value of who they are. If you can even get a hold of one factor in terms of a message that was sent or a belief that they have about themselves, see, if you can get a hold of one factor, I believe that I'm just a mess up, you know? I always mess it up. And it's happened so many times that I just think I'm just, you know, I'm just a failure. Well, you get a hold of one factor, and you can begin to encourage the person to check that out with the Lord. See, I realize you feel that way. I see all the reasons why you do, but I wonder if it's true. How are we going to find that out? You know, see, then there are several things going on there, potentially happening there. One is hope. Hope. If what I believe about myself has any possibility of not being true, then there might be hope. But see, we believe it's true. One of the things I say to people sometimes, do you think the Lord would agree with you in that? And, I mean, that's the measuring line, really. That's the measuring line. Will he agree with us? What is his perspective? How does he see it? That, by definition, is true. And we have to get to the place, if we're going to live in his realm, where he can easily call our viewpoint into question. He can easily adjust it. He can easily light it up. And we can get to the point where we can very quickly say, okay, here's where I am, Lord. Where are you? This is how I see it. I encourage people to be very honest with him. Pour it out. How do you see it? I'm angry with you. I got hurt and you weren't there. Whatever. But then let us fight our way through to the point where they can have some sense of his response and find out what is actually going on with him. Every time we do that, we are on our way home. When you're talking with people and do you hear signs of anger? Yeah. See, that's a place to start. You take a hold of any thread of that you can name. and even to say, it sounds like it sounds like there's a certain amount of anger about that. Because what you're wanting to do is get things to move from the don't know what's going on to, yes, I am angry, and keep helping them decide why. Then you could talk to the Lord about it. Then you could work through it. Then you could discover that it's probably caused by some form of lack of value or regard or appropriate hearing or response or whatever. Another way to view our healing is to clear out the accumulation of those things from our lives and get them reconciled with the Lord, so that we have liberty in that place instead of oppression. See, under a lot of those disqualifying things, are we ever going to really move powerfully in the Lord? It's pretty tricky, pretty tricky. Yeah. There's too much concern over what's going to happen. There's too much anxiety about their response. There's too much risk of being visible. See, if we don't work through this stuff, we're not gonna have the freedom we really want in the Lord. I was I had an experience of this just recently. I went to a worship prayer time that we have monthly at the church where I go, and as we were in worship, we probably spent maybe 45 minutes in worship or something. As we were in that worship time, we were singing songs, crying out to the Lord to pour out His Spirit or bring Your kingdom or all the things we ask Him to do, and that is the longing of our heart. We really want that to happen. But what I became aware of while we were singing those songs is that He's not unwilling to do that. Actually the problem is not on His side. He does pour out, and it hits something, and that's as far as it gets. I became very aware of that, and then I began to feel prompted to say something about it, to bring that word. I thought, oh man. So I did, and it's interesting what happened. The first thing you could feel, the first response was just quiet, that hear a pin drop kind of quiet. Oh man, I thought, ooh. And then the worship leader began immediately to find another song, because the word was really, Lord, show us what's in the way. I mean, you are willing, you are committed to this. You have invested long ago. You have cleared the way. You have opened access. You are willing to pour out to us. You have said that. There must be something on our side that prevents it. What's in the way? What's in the way over here? Show us. Well, it got real quiet, and then immediately we were going to start singing again, Not wait too long on the Lord. It gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? It gets uncomfortable if we think He's going to light something up. Oh, man, I'm out of here. So we started singing another song like that. Lord, come. Oh, Lord. Anyway, I got a bit frustrated. And said, what was the point of that word, Lord? We're on down the trail again. What was the point of that? And he said, you could listen. I said, well, of course, that's true, Lord. That is true. Yeah, I heard that, and I can listen. I can find out what's in the way, what prevents you from pouring out. Coming out. So I said, all right, I get it. And asked him what was in the way for me. And the understanding that I had in that was that I'm reluctant, even fearful, but just guarded, reluctant, kind of restrained in allowing my passion to really be evident for Him and the things of God and things that He's called me to and all that. And I kind of low key that a little bit. And I thought, well, yeah, I have to admit that's true. This was last Sunday, less than a week ago. I've been looking at it this week, and first I saw the reality of it. Then I began to feel very sad about that, very sad. I mean, what a loss, And what in the world is worth that kind of loss? So by Monday afternoon, I was really in touch with that. And there have been several things that have happened during the week, but by yesterday, I was aware of being very angry, very, very angry. That I have in any way lost that quality, that I put up with it, that I allowed anybody to do that to me, and just very angry, and talking to the Lord about that, because I can't imagine anything more precious than passion for the Lord, just so we're in the middle of the stream on that one. I'm continuing to talk with him about it. But I for those of you who got the newsletter recently about faith, you know, faith and passion need to be functioning together. They need to be functioning together and really, you know, really taking up the things of God and really moving. Well, that's what clearing all the anger regard stuff is about, isn't it? Because if there wasn't a regard issue, then there wouldn't be an impairing of passion, would there? And the regard is not from the Lord, it's from each other. See, so I see it very plainly in my own life. The anger actually isn't going to do any good. You know, I mean, I can stand that or I can justify it, but it isn't going to do any good. It is not going to release. You know, it's a passageway that you have to go through, but it isn't going to release the passion. But I got to the point where I was saying to the Lord, I can't get out of here. It really makes me mad. You know, it's gone on a long time. You know, there's a significant part of my life already gone along. You know, and it's hard to describe how angry I felt about that. And that's my perspective. I said that to him. I can't see it any other way. I can't get out of here because I cannot see it any other way. And I can't imagine that your perspective is going to help me that much because it is a loss. I can't call it anything else. There is a loss in that. It has been impaired, and I know that's the case. You identified it yourself. You know? So I presented that and was asking him what his perspective was. And this was yesterday morning or last night or something. Anyway, what I began to realize is that he didn't argue with me about the loss or the significance of it or any of that or the cost. He started lighting up the realities of the kind of mire we are in, and just how hard it is to really get us out and restore us completely, and the cost of that, and the trek that really is in our life, and that is the reality. And he invests in it, and he's able to get us there, but it's very difficult for us to see, and we, you know, keep moving through. And his perspective is, it's worth it. It's worth that. If you get there at all, by any means, you know, it is worth it. I thought, interesting perspective you have, Lord. Well, that starts to dispel some of the anger, sadness kind of thing. You know? But it still presents the challenge of retrieving and using our passion for God.
The reality is that if you express your passion, mm-hmm. your passion, mm-hmm. church, mm-hmm. they can literally.
Yeah.
Which is
what?
Right.
That's the worst case.
But God is, maybe it's God's name, that's a possibility that he's going to let you go there or risk it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you something interesting that happened that Sunday night. I have some friends in this church, you know, and one of them gave a word after that next song, you know, and it was actually a vision and a word, and the vision was of him out in a field having darts and rocks and stuff thrown at him, and he's in business, you know, and I'm sure it feels that way at times. Probably related to regard. Anyway, he said, and I was getting hit. And I was being hit with some regularity, and I can feel the losses and head stuff and that, you know. Then what he saw next to him on his right side was the Lord standing there with this huge shield, his arm through it, this huge shield, and a space between the shield and the Lord, and saying to my friend Mike, this is where you belong. You belong right in here, between the shield and me. This is the place. This is where you advance. This is how you move forward, you know. And, of course, he doesn't get hit there, you know. It's the same thing, huh? You know, that he's that he's behind the purposes and the provision of God. He's connected to him. He's believing him more than everybody else. And then we don't get hit in the same way. And then he said that the Lord had been, bringing like a song to mind, not one that he knows, but one that he was more like the Lord singing to him. And it was a song about connect with me. Connect with my heart. Connect, with my presence. Connect. A lot of connect with me kind of things that the Lord was saying to him. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, Lord, what you're saying and the words coming forth and the whole issue of joining, getting behind you, being in your provision, connecting with you, being in you, that is my passion. That's exactly it. That's what I want. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm committed to with people, is that they know the Lord in that way. I think we're getting totally ripped off unless we do. And I can't see it any other way. I don't think there's any equivalent. I don't think there's anything in life that you can less afford to lose than that. I'm certain of it. I'm absolutely certain of it. And I can see it scripturally. I can see it dynamically out there. I can see it personally. There's no question. There's no question about it anymore. The Lord has confirmed it so many times, I don't have any question about it anymore. And I just sat there chuckling. Okay, Lord. So now what do you want me to do? Declare my passion? I'm not going to do it. But the funny thing is, I will. I will, and I'm in process of actually that in this church. I don't think they'll have difficulty hearing it. I know that the pastor and his wife are very much open to that. It's really a significant part of their passion too. I think the process of us getting there is what, how we get there is part of the question. But emerging into that and getting a hold of that and seeing it more clearly. I can't even describe to you how many passes have happened at this anger-regard issue. Because if I am going to exercise that passion, I'm not going to be able to do it by paying attention to the regard or the traditions of man. If it's subject to that, it's going to be restrained. If it's not restrained, it's going to hit those. I think we have to get to the place where we say, Paul said, none of these things move me. What a place to get to. Well, we're in that together. We're trying to support and encourage and help each other get there. Now, that's the place where I think the face of unconditional love that the Lord calls us to be in together is relevant. That we are supposed to share his heart in such a way that wherever a brother or sister is, we would take the perspective that it, rather than judge them and find fault with them and everything, we would say, okay, Lord, where do you want to go from here? Or they're gifted in a very different way than we are, and we say, okay, how do our gifts flow together? How do they work as a, as different parts of the same body? Getting us to that point where we trust the Lord to work in all of those situations, and we call on him and we keep listening to him instead of call it ourselves. Most of the disregard that virtually everyone has experienced comes from other people calling it themselves. This is what I see. This is how I think it ought to go. And we say, oh man, I wonder if they're right. Oh. and enter into confusion or shame or silencing or reacting or fighting back. But see, none of those are the peace and security of being certain of what the Lord is saying to us. And knowing that we have his regard, and we really can't lose it. You can be in a mess. You still have his regard. He'd be glad to join you in it. Be glad to help. Be glad just to light it up and show you the way out. That's what I said to him about this anger side. Lord, you're going to get me out of here. I can't get out of here. I can't see it any other way. I felt really trapped. And I didn't, from that point of view, it didn't even seem like there was any other possible perspective to have. You know that feeling? That's what we're trying to help each other with. But this is something I've discovered lately. His perspective is always saving. It's always saving. It's always a way out. It's always a way through. It's always full of power and grace and lifting. His perspective is just absolutely incredible compared to ours. Absolutely amazing. We help each other get that whole regard issue all the way over there, settled, secure, established, a done deal in him. And to the point where you cannot move us out of there. The events can't move us out of there. The circumstances can't move us out of there. Family members giving us their good opinion can't move us out of there. That's one of the hardest of all. You know, people closest to us. And ministering to each other through the anger down into what it's about, try to, you know, getting more and more skilled at helping each other get to the Lord with it. We very often have to be joined, I think, in getting the lid off, because we believe so strongly the things that we believe that if somebody doesn't come alongside who doesn't believe that, it's very difficult for us even to formulate the right questions. You know, we can't question what you believe so strongly. This is what it is. It's the truth. Okay. Tell me what you're doing with what I'm saying. Yeah.
You just brought up something that I didn't realize.
Be careful about getting too real, huh?
Exactly.
But see, he would do it for the two people that it touched.
Yeah.
If we can tolerate it.
And that's what he's sharing with us through all the
and,
years.
And he may do it anyway to get us to the point where we can tolerate it.
but this gives me encouragement to make it.
Yeah. See, I think the whole regard thing is something that we have to take passes at many, many times. You know, that kind of crushing experience or and the hurt of it and everything, we're probably going to have to take a lot, you know, quite a number of passes at that to get fully restored. Yeah, and we can get to the place where we say, well, you know, there's a lot going on, and I need to do this and that, and that, you know, and not call it a ripoff.
It was a ripoff.
Absolutely.
A ripoff.
Yeah.
Because I followed exactly what the Lord wanted me to do, and I have no qualms about that.
No, it's just that our assumption is that that's going to work wonderfully.
Yeah.
That might hit the wall. Right. Yeah.
It really did hurt a lot. Thank God I had my sister. She helped me.
You know, the Lord says to Ezekiel. This is in chapter 3. He tells him to talk to the people of Israel. He says they're not going to hear you. They're not going to hear you because they're not hearing me. But he tells him to talk anyway. Ezekiel 3. That whole chapter is quite amazing. And Ezekiel says, how long? And it's a long time. They're going to go in, you know, this whole captivity thing. I mean, it's a long time. But that's not what we want to hear.
Right.
That chapter ends with the Lord saying, you know, there's a point which he says he'll be closed in his house and his tongue will stick to the roof of his mouth and he'll have nothing to say. Then the last verse says, but when I open your mouth, you will speak. And you'll say, thus says the Lord. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear. That's important too. You know, you let the ones who can hear hear, which is what you're saying there. And then it says, he who refuses, let him refuse. Well, that's more of a challenge for us. You know, that's much more of a challenge for us. The ones who refuse and react and judge and, you know, we start getting diminished by it. Now that's our issue. That becomes our issue to work out with the Lord. We need to get to the place where we can let them hear and we can let them refuse. Because almost any message you get from the Lord that he sends you forth with, you're going to see some of both. You know, I've been in situations and you know, in church settings, kind of denominational church settings, where there's a very mixed thing, and there are certain traditions that some of what I say bump into. Really, I think the very hardest thing is to get us all the way through the traditions of man. You know, it's very difficult for us to question them. It's very difficult for us to look at them and really assess them for their value, you know, and kind of hold them up to the Lord. What about this, Lord? How do you, is this serving our situation with you or not, you know? But I've been in situations where I've come with some kind of word and understanding that the Lord has laid on my heart, and then certain people arrive that I believe are going to have a problem with what I say. Well, there's the battle. There's the battle. Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure this is the message? You want to change it? You can change it right now. my view is that this person could hear this, but they're probably not going to hear this, you know. And, you know, sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's true. You know, there's some folks who don't hear, but I can't tell you how many times this has happened. When I'm feeling that way, get done, we're talking, discussion, whatever, you know, that very person that I thought would least hear it comes up and says something to me. I think, okay, Lord, okay. So much for my assessment. So much for my take on it. But you know, there's two faces of this. There's the one is just being, you know, getting to a place where as an individual son or daughter of the Lord, we have the freedom to be who we are. The other is, you know, some kind of empowering in ministry. Because the power in ministry comes from responding to God. You know, we have a class that goes to the book of Acts. In a nutshell, Acts is people responding to the Spirit of God. I mean, that's what happens everywhere. Incredible things happen because they respond to what they hear. And they don't argue with him according to their own logic and assessment and, you know, take on what's going on. So getting us to that place and enabling us to minister to one another on the way. We're all on the way. I think that sometimes when the Lord gives us a word, like he did me on Sunday night, you know, you take the first bite. you take the first bite. You know, the fact that he gave it to you says something. I'm talking to you first. Might be talking to a lot of other people, but definitely talking to you, dear. So, it's very, very interesting. Anger, regard. Letting the Lord get us all the way there. Let me share with you a scripture that where the Lord identifies this just so directly and clearly. You know, this is from John chapter 5. He's talking to pretty much to the Pharisees, to those in his environment who were in the know and in leadership and you know, in positions of authority. And of course he's bringing and presenting to them a whole different perspective than they have. You know, he has a grace, access to God, forgiveness perspective. They have a law perspective, and they clash, just like we're saying. They clash, you know, initially they clash. So he's saying that to them. And he is talking to them about the active role that God has in things and how that works. He's describing the kingdom, the nature of how it works. And they think it's based on their righteousness. And so they get mad at him for him, what he says about his relationship with God the Father. They're offended and very upset about that. But he says, most assuredly, I say to you, this is in verse 19, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Well, that's a foreign territory to these folks. They don't have that concept. They have, you know the right thing and you do it, and that's what moves you into righteousness. Does he know that they're going to have a problem with that? Yeah, the one who looks on their heart knows that. He says it anyway. He gives us opportunity. He says it anyway. He says it over and over again in this whole passage here, in a variety of ways. Most assuredly, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. See, they're offended by that. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're... But he says, finally, to them, over in verse 44, how can you believe, the implication is, how can you believe in him? How can you believe what he's saying? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? He's very clear and direct with them. You're struggling and can't believe me because you're looking to each other. Well, that's part of our dilemma. We are stuck in each other's regard and approval and confused by it or hiding from it or, you know, in some way mired down and losing some land and territory because of it. He says it to them very, very clearly. How can you believe me if you receive honor from one another? We have to shift. Yeah, we have to shift. There's no way out of it. We're either going to be stuck in the limitations of each other's view, or we're going to make the whole transition. Yeah? And if we're going to make the transition, we need help. We need encouragement. We need support. We need confirmations. We need outpouring. We need empowering. We need healing. We need restoration. We need lots of things if we're going to get all the way over there. And what he says what he says over and over again to his body is, be that. I want you to be that to each other. I want you to represent me. I want you to, you know, bring my word. I want you to... He says to them in verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. This is the condition we're in when we know. We're not willing to come to him. We got to figure it out. He's very straight with them, isn't he? And you see, we'll either be humbled in that, or we'll fight and react, what they did is disqualify him. You're elevating yourself. There's a million ways to do that. You know, we hear the message, or we discount the messenger. Then we don't have to deal with it. Okay. I think I'm done. Although I think, seen glimpses of it for a long time, but haven't quite called it exactly this. A couple of things happened that I before this last week, when I knew what I was angry about, the whole passion issue, but this was a couple of weeks ago. Several things happened, and I realized that I was feeling a certain amount of anger, and to the point, when you feel it to the point that you're aware of it, you know something's going on, So then you can say, Lord, what about this, So I did. I said, I asked him what it was about, and he brought to mind a couple of incidents and events that I experienced as disregarding. And I thought, there it is again. How many times do I have to do this? So I, kind of worked through it with him and got to a place of back more listening to him than some of the things that happened. And I view that as my issue in a sense. I did grow up with a lack of clarity about regard, not really at an abusive level, just missing it and really not, kind of oblivious, not overtly abusive in some ways, but just definitely not hearing. So, you know, I felt like there's, you know, there've been a lot of passes at that, and still are. But I began to realize that this is not only my issue. this is a very prevalent issue. And I started thinking about all the ways in which it manifests in the church, and all the reactions, and all the ways that people get hit in this whole regard area, and have anger, and do a variety of things with it, you know, react or withdraw or whatever. I mean, I have a number of friends who aren't even going to church right now because of these issues. And we have pockets of time like that where we're just out of commission. We're just wiped out by them, you know. And I thought, whoa, that is true. So I mean, I've been kind of reflecting on it since then. You know, it's just something the Lord brought up with me and then began to, which is how he works, I think. You know, it's often how he works. Turns something that he is doing with us into whatever he wants to use it for out there as well. We just call it witness, too. Talk about what I've seen and heard.
I have another question.
Yeah.
I spoke to somebody last Tuesday.
Well, we can go right to the Word. Mm-hmm. But, and I think it actually is probably more profound in many ways than psychology. Mm-hmm. And probably more powerful. But it's not enough to go just with your head. You know, it has to be applied to your whole heart, and the Lord himself needs to be involved in it. You know, I think the thing we're looking for is the Lord ministering his word to us by his Spirit, and it coming alive in that way, and it being applied to our whole heart. And that, you know, that kind of freedom. It's not something we do ourselves and figure out, and we select from the word what works for us. We're still in charge. We're not in union, we're still in charge. I mean, we're closer probably than we are, you know, than we are if we're not in the word. But we're still not letting him move in the way that we need him to. Yeah.
I get the feeling from her that...
Well, you know, scripturally, the Lord is pretty regularly breaking into lives and having a word with his kids. Everywhere, it's the same thing, you know. And we're usually kind of stunned and uncomfortable and fearful and oh, not me. And I mean, you know, I mean that's the way it is. I mean, we do wrestle with that. I think one of the another element that is difficult is that very often people's experience of the Lord speaking is through someone else, not their own experience.
Yeah.
And that can be quite a mixed deal, you know. If people are not really kind of healed and experience some clearing and cleansing with the Lord, they can say all kinds of things. Part of it's them, part of it's the Lord. But, you know, I mean, it's mostly them, or the way it's delivered is very unproductive. And if we view that, we'll say, thanks a lot. I don't, you know. It's like talking to someone who, you know, I don't know, this, for some reason this occurs to me, but someone who has sought ministry for wounding in their life and have been ministered to in a casting out, you know, addressing what they're experiencing as demonic, and you know, and that it's going to be settled by casting out mm-hmm. that issue. Well, if it's their own wounding, it's not, you can't cast it out. You know, you have to deal with it. See, so then they get some healing, and they can tell the difference between demonic activity and wounding. Then it comes time to have some kind of ministry over demonic issues. Oh, no, thank you, out of here. I mean, see, it's caused some real complications and difficulty, and the real is no longer acceptable. Yeah. We're not necessarily talking about hearing from each other. We're talking about hearing from the Lord, and we're also talking about whenever we do hear from each other to bring it to him and say, what about this, Lord? You know? See, I do that with everybody. Even when Margaret sends me a word, I say, Lord, what about this? Though I'm rarely surprised when he says, yeah, I'm in it. But you have to ask, you know, you have to ask. You have to make sure that he's, you know, he's involved here. And people who are really sending word from the Lord want you to do that. Want you to do that. Right. Yeah, it's difficult not to throw out the reel because of the things that have looked kind of strange. You know? Mm-hmm. And they have. You know, with a lot of people, they have. There's a, I think it's a, maybe Jeremiah 23, but there's a couple of places where the Lord says this in effect. People are, you know, some folks who are calling themselves prophets are are prophesying out of their own heart. It has nothing to do with me. Well, how do we tell the difference? You know, it's. You know, I think it's fair and not at all a bad idea to, when we bring anything we think is from the Lord, is to encourage the person to pray about it. You know? Just encourage them to pray about it. If, you know, if you don't have any confirmation of it, if you feel like it's not from the Lord or whatever, then by all means throw it out. You know? See, not to get defensive about it at all, because, you know, we can have some of us mixed up in it too, and you say, you know, this is, you know, near as I can tell, this is kind of the sense I have of it. I would just really, you know, I encourage you to pray about it and see if the Lord is saying anything in it.
But that's, it's like, but then I get defensive.
Well, yeah, that's the whole issue, I think, of us getting to a place of peacefulness and letting him do whatever he's going to do with it. You know, we get defensive because we have some kind of agenda about what it's supposed to look like. And we're going to, you know, fight for that. You let it go. I think you have to let it go. But see, it's optional for people, too. They can read it, they can not read it, they can take it seriously, they can not, they can pray about it, they can not, they can do the exercises, they can not. You know, I mean, it's an optional thing, and you have to kind of lay it out and then let the Lord do whatever he's going to do with it, because it's going to have a lot of faces, probably.
I guess my question to you is, at one point...
No, I think... I don't think we can escape being defensive at times. I don't think we can escape some element of trying to prove or convince or whatever, you know. But I do think he brings us to a place where we can hear that and realize we're kind of saving ourselves, and you don't really have to do that. But gradually, I think there's a freeing from that. And it grows with the perspective of how he works. I don't think he works either in our lives or anybody else's as the word comes and we get it totally. It's more like clearing off this area of dust and debris, clearing off the next one, clearing off the next one. There may be 10, 12 of those, and then our understanding goes, you know, kind of falls into place. Well, he invests like that, and it doesn't trouble him at all. If we're going to risk, we want outcome. You know, otherwise we question whether we're... So, I mean, I think as our perception of how he works and what he's willing to do and his commitment to us grows, so does our willingness to have it look however it looks, you know. I mean, I've had people call me up, you know, they've read something in the book or whatever, they call me up, they have all kinds of questions, a little bit annoyed, you know. We talk about it. Okay. 6 months later, they call me up. When's the next class? Year and a half later, they come. What is the Lord doing? You know? I mean, that's the way that's happened a lot. You know, that's actually happened a lot. You know, a number of folks that, you know, been wrestling around with coming to a class or something for 2 years. I show up. Oh, yeah. it's scary for us. The closer you get to the Lord, you cannot get closer to the Lord without having the lid on your heart lifted. You cannot. And it's very uncomfortable for us. Very uncomfortable. So we take a step, we avoid, we wrestle around, we risk some, we move, and then eventually we give it up. I think we all do it that way. That's probably the only way we can do it. And he's got to get a bunch of us in shape to tolerate that. And not get diminished by the wrestlings, but to see it as purposeful. Well, see, if you're gonna enter into things with him, you will have to be healed. You can't tolerate it otherwise. There's no way to tolerate ministry without being healed. You'll either get more healed or find a reason to have nothing to do with it anymore. Or come at it from a very isolated and protected condition and not really be able to be as productive as the Lord wants us to be. Paul says that, this is in writing to the Thessalonians, I think he says that they poured out both the gospel of God and also their own souls because those believers were dear to them. Dear and treacherous. Dear because they're moving in the Lord, treacherous because they're wrestling and reacting and afraid and, accusatory stuff at times. We've got to help each other get through all of that. And I think to be able to say to a person, instead of getting defensive, hey, I've been there. I can understand how you feel that way. Period. Let them be where they are. Let them wrestle with it. Let them have to fight through. Because otherwise, if we contend with them, then they're justified in resisting, rather than just accepted in it. I don't blame you. It's very scary. I know that panic. I know that. I know that feeling. That's a reality. Yeah, for a lot of people, even to have any place where they can share their heart without experiencing destruction of some sort or other is quite unusual. It's quite unusual. We have to even find out exists before we're going to, risk further with the Lord. People who are, so accustomed to being, diminished by that effort, they have to find out. I think that's what some of the interactions are about, is to begin to present an alternative. Is there any viable alternative to hiding out? And the problem is, it's rare. it's a bit rare. All right.